Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today we're going to talk about What's the Story, Wishbone? Let's grab another tale.
We are 90s kids.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And we grew up watching Wishbone.
Yeah, also because we didn't really grow up watching Nickelodeon, so what True. Option is left for us? WB. Yeah. Kids WB.
PBS.
And Fox Kids. Yeah. Those are the three things.
That was basically it. I was a big PBS kid.
Yeah,
big I was PBS big, kid.
Yeah, PBS all the way. Particularly Wishbone, 95 to 99. For those of you who are not familiar with this magical, magical show, it was about a dog named Wishbone.
Mm. Russell Terrier.
Jack Russell Terrier, which of course I don't know when you're a kid.
Like, didn't it's know a dog and no. It's cute.
It's a doggy.
Yeah,
but to this day when I see a Jack Russell Terrier, I think of Wishbone.
Me too, actually. And so the idea was that there was this intelligent, smart, charming dog in his mind only, you know, of course he can't be heard by anybody else, but he was charming as a dog without talking to his owners or anything like that. And he would imagine himself and he would tell the audience, the story of a classic book or tale, tale dog. That pun was made every single episode.
Yeah, pretty much. In the theme song, actually.
Yeah, actually, it is. So it was every episode, but let's grab another tale. Right, yeah, okay. I sang it like 3 seconds ago. Yeah. Manny would imagine himself in these stories, and it paralleled what was going on in the episode with his owners, the neighbor, something like that. This show was great. It was so great. It won Emmy. It won daytime Emmys in 96 and 98. Not for best children's programming or anything like that, but for art direction, costuming, all of that stuff. It really was a quality show, particularly on PBS, you know, which I mean,
yeah.
The budgets on PBS are not huge.
Not
it's
always.
Public broadcasting.
Yeah. But this, an outstanding show for kids, and it really
and adults
and
my
adults.
Parents loved
that's,
this show.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
and an entire generation grew up watching this and remembers this show.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in their currently in their like mid to late 20s grew up watching this show pretty much. I mean, yeah. many people and have a fondness for it. And I would say that our age group in our mid to late 20s. We know many of the literature, the literary stories that were touched upon in this show because of this show.
Absolutely.
There are lots of these stories that I never actually read the books,
mm-hmm.
never had a chance. I would love to,
yeah.
But haven't read some of them. And yet I know the basic story because I saw Wishbone.
Right. No, I agree with you. And I mean, I don't know if you had these growing up. I had great illustrated classics growing up. They were these big hardcover white books.
Yes, of course.
Some of them were softcover, but most of them were hardcover. They
hardcover,
were like super cheap in the store.
Yeah. And they would be sort of like abbreviated versions of novels.
Of the stories.
Yeah.
I read a lot of those growing up, which I count as reading the story.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have time to sit down and read The Count of Monte Cristo.
Well, especially when you were a kid. Like, I had A Christmas Carol.
Yep.
Great illustrated classics version.
Yeah, I had
and
that one too.
Yeah, and it's I had a few of those. My dad bought me a few of those. But yeah, I read those, and like A Christmas Carol is pretty dense when you're a kid,
right?
But
to some adults, it's still pretty dense.
Yeah, exactly.
But
to read, and by kid, I mean like less than 10 years old.
Right.
So like, yeah, I read those, but this was a great way to get those in even more, you know, bite-sized half-hour chunks.
Right. Well, I mean, like, the point of the show was, like, visit your local library.
Yes.
And so you'd,
yes.
like, you'd almost sometimes like you got the chunk, you got the Spark Notes version, basically.
Yeah.
But then you would want to go and get the like more of the story.
Right.
Sometimes like it intrigued you enough to be like, I want to try. I want to see what the rest of that is like. They had. They did release Wishbone books at one point. They did have a series of those books.
I never read those, but I saw them.
I had a couple. They definitely weren't as good as the show. Sure. I preferred the Great Illustrated Classics. It just like it didn't have the same charm as the show. Just has a lot of charm. There's a couple episodes on YouTube that you can check out. They do sell. They don't sell the series as a DVD set, but you still can get the DVDs themselves.
They sell like individual,
like four episodes of DVDs, something
like that. And I think
they sell
them for mainly for schools in mind. I think that's kind of why they're
I would assume. I mean, you can get them on Amazon. Yeah. I've seen them in stores in a few different places, but like you have to hunt for them a little bit.
Honestly,
but
they're probably four to a tape, to a DVD because that's how they were on tape.
Yeah, I would assume.
That's probably why. Yeah,
because you could definitely fit more than four episodes. They're only half an hour.
On DVD, but on a tape, you can only fit two, usually 2 hours.
Yeah.
So the formula, let's talk about, let's just like briefly go through what the
break
formula
it down was. Now, Frank.
So you would have Wishbone and his owner, and whose name is Joe, and Joe's friends would have some problem, some happening.
The 90th of 90 kids.
They wore all, you know, just
with the plaid around the waist and the roller skating.
And the light colored jeans, basically out of like a textbook.
Yeah.
an early 2000s textbook where everyone dressed like it was the 90s. Yeah. So They would have some problems, some conflict, some happening in the town or whatever. The parents were involved too. And Wishbone would be like, this reminds me of, you know, the Scarlet Letter or whatever. Like, this reminds me of
that one, but
Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
This reminds me
that one.
Of Sleepy Hollow. Like, this reminds like all these different, all these different stories. Like, this reminds me of this. And then he would go into basically a dream sequence where Wishbone
was a character. Was one of the main
usually
characters.
Usually the main character.
Not
usually. Not always.
But
not always.
Usually.
He was.
Which sometimes got awkward. The Romeo and Juliet, episode. Kind of weird.
Weird.
As an adult. Like,
but in The Tempest, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He was not. He was not The Tempest. Basically.
Yeah.
No, you're right. But I mean, like, sometimes, like, some he was Quasimodo and stuff like that. But I mean, like, in, like, Phantom of the Opera, he was not the Phantom. He was Raoul.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Yeah. That was my first introduction to the Phantom of the Opera. Was not the musical, was the Wishbone episode. Was not Lon Chaney, was the Wishbone episode.
Right. But I was going to say, he wasn't Prospero in
no, that's right.
He was Ariel.
That's right. Yeah. Look at you whipping out your Tempest knowledge.
I know. I read The Tempest.
Yeah. Because of Wishbone or because you had
in college.
Oh, okay. Okay. I did not. I saw it. I've seen it performed.
I've seen it also, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it performed, but I've never read it myself. It was a good show, though. One of Shakespeare's latest shows. One of his later shows, I should say. But anyway.
Latest show from William Shakespeare.
Yeah, The Tempest. Anyway. So anyway, so that was the basic formula of the show.
Yeah. Wishbone could talk. Well, he couldn't talk. He could
in
think.
In his classic dream sequences, he could talk to everybody.
Right.
But in the real world, he could not. He could
we
only
could
bark.
Just hear his thoughts.
That's right.
We just heard his thoughts.
Which, I mean, he was kind of funny. He wasn't kind of. He was funny.
He was clever.
He was clever. He was funny. He was punny.
He was punny.
Yeah.
He was
a social commentator.
Yes.
Like,
Yes. He was the conscience of the show. He would tell, no, Joe, don't do that. Woof, woof. Like, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's that, Wishbone?
Yeah.
Lassie's stuck in the well.
A lot of that kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly.
But except we could understand what he was saying.
Yeah. There was a break in the show somewhere where, like, all of a sudden the kids got older faster.
So I think after the 1999 season, I'm not sure they have seasons on PBS, but you know, after that series of episodes, it kind of stopped, and then they came back after a couple of years and they did the Halloween episode, which was Legend of Sleepy Hollow,
which was awesome,
and the kids were all older. They brought back the same cast, but they were all older, which was kind of weird because now they were like young teenagers where they had been like 10-year-olds. It's kind of weird. They've gone through puberty a little bit. It was funny. But so let's talk about some of our favorite stories that they covered, favorite episodes. I feel like you have seen
I've seen every episode of this show.
Have you really?
I don't know
for sure if I have or not, but I have seen many, many of them. But I was going to say,
was my jam.
You have seen them more recently than I have. I haven't seen them basically since they stopped showing. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them basically since they stopped showing reruns in 2001.
Okay.
That's the last I really saw of them.
Okay. There are some stories that I could count as sometimes they these classic stories have become favorites of mine because of this show, because I was exposed to it. Phantom, again, is one I've read. Gaston LaRue's Phantom of the Opera because of Wishbone.
Oh,
it's not that long of a book, incidentally. It's a good book, but
I read Faust because of Wishbone.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a That you goeth and do that.
I thought it was interesting.
Puns, yay! No, I mean, Cyrano de Bergerac. What?
Just what?
What? I mean, come on. What kid's growing up going oh, Cyrano de Bergerac, what a great story.
He's like Pinocchio, except everyone hates him.
He's like Pinocchio and the Scarlet Pimpernel combined together.
Did they do the Scarlet Pimpernel?
You know, now that you asked me that question, I feel like a fool for not knowing.
I think they did.
I'm pretty sure they did.
I think they did.
You know, I've said I've seen every episode, but that does not necessarily mean that I, remember every single one super clearly. It's been a long time since I've seen them. I can tell you some of my favorite episodes, for sure.
They did the purloined letter. That's what I'm thinking of. Not Scarlet Pimpernel.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they ever did the Scarlet Pimpernel. No, because when I read that book, I was thinking, what a great Wishbone episode this would make. Scarlet Letter. I mean, the purloined letter. That still sticks with me. I've used that for various reasons in the future. It's a good version of the story. Can't think of the actual words. The Robin Hood one is a great one. That actually has sometimes the episode the classic story was better than the story going on in the thing, but the Robin Hood one had a very good dual storyline in which the cafeteria at Joe's school would just throw out the food at the end of the day, and he was like, that should go to the shelter. Hello, there's a lot of hungry people.
Right.
And then the school principal was like, no. We're just going to throw it away because it's too much effort to do that. And so there was a whole thing.
I'm a 90s character with no motivation.
I'm an after school special, right?
Exactly.
Basically. But that was a good episode. It was moral growth for Joe, which was really good. Which, I mean, the story of Robin Hood, of course, always classic and amazing. I enjoyed that one. The Count of Monte Cristo, I've always been a fan of. There's been a lot of good films with the Count of Monte Cristo. The book is excellent. The Wishbone episode is excellent. The Count's account, if you will.
Yes.
That one was really good. Not my favorite. The Tom Sawyer episode, which is actually the first one. It's a two-parter. I'm not a huge fan I'm not a huge fan of that story to begin with. Although I do always enjoy, I do make jokes about painting the fence quite often. Like when someone's Tom Sawyer, you tricked me. I was thinking I don't know if you're a Futurama fan or not. I can never remember this, but you know the episode where Fry has to fight the brains and and the brains painted Tom Sawyer, you tricked me. This is not as fun as previously indicated. it kills me every time. And every flashes back and forth between that episode in the Wishbone episode, and I just go, it's just so funny. I love that one. The Odyssey episode is great, though odd in its own way. It skips certainly a lot of the Odyssey.
It's the Odyssey.
Yeah, that one's very good. The Slobbery Hound. I remember the title of this episode.
Oh,
you know which one it is.
Yes, I do.
The Hound of Baskerville.
Yes.
That episode was so creepy as a kid. I remember being creeped out as a kid. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this before. I get creeped out very easily. It's dark and I'm like,
yeah, but that was weird. Yeah. That was weird. That was my only. I knew Sherlock Holmes really because of. I mean, I knew who Sherlock Holmes was, but that was the only Sherlock Holmes. I'd never seen a Sherlock Holmes movie. I'd never read any of the stories for years. That was the only Sherlock Holmes story I really knew for years. Until a couple years later, when I got old enough to really read and appreciate it. Yeah, and the first thing I wanted to read when I started reading Sherlock Holmes was The Hound of the Baskervilles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I didn't read it at that moment, but I had read it in the future. And, of course, that Wishbone episode really informs a lot of my opinion on that, including how I feel about BBC's Sherlock episode of The Hound of the Baskervilles. I'm like, not as good as the Wishbone episode.
Same. Well, that episode suffers from what the first two series of Sherlock suffered.
It's the middle episode,
slump. Yeah,
it's always,
But the third series redeemed itself in that. But yeah.
Nope. Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah,
was awesome.
Yep.
Even certainly again very condensed version, but it just gives you enough. You're like, there are dinosaurs.
Yes.
Like you know, me as a kid, as an 8-year-old, dinosaurs. You know,
the time machine.
What a that great episode
inspired me.
To build
years.
Your own time machine.
And that's how we got here, Tim.
Yeah, I knew that. I have to go play Johnny B. Good now.
Once this kitchen table gets up to 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some... Anyway, loved the time machine. I didn't realize how short that book was.
Yeah, it's not long.
It's a very short book.
Yeah.
And I've read it now like 4 or 5 times as a result.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oliver Twist...
That's a great one. I'm a huge fan of that story. I'm not... Okay, the blasphemy. I'm not a huge fan of Charles Dickens' writing.
Oh, wow.
Just plain... A lot of the times, he wrote because he got paid for the word, and so sometimes
per
I find
word.
It per word.
Great
so
expectations,
right,
perfect example.
Right, so I find it... And I think the stories are brilliant. I find the words needlessly wordy by today's reading standards. I don't get lost in his language. Oh, I get lost. Not lost in the language, I just get lost. but I do love that story in of itself, mostly because of Fagin. That's just a great. It's one of my favorite characters in literature of all time. One of my favorite stories of all time, hands down. Love the book. Love almost every adaptation of the film. Love this episode. Three Musketeers.
Oh, yeah. You're a big Three Musketeers
fan. I'm a big Three Musketeers fan.
Is that the book that you have like multiple copies of because you just can't get enough of it?
I have multiple copies of three distinct books. Okay. Harry Potter, going to go with.
Yep.
I have my originals, and then I don't have all of them, but if you'd like to send me more while listening, please do. I have the reprints with the different covers of Harry Potter that have been coming out just because they're really, really nice. They're really nice looking covers. I have books 2, 3, and 4. I don't have 1 for some reason.
If you have one, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com.
Yeah, or tweet us at beerwithgeeks. If you would like to send me books 1, 5, 6, or 7. I will not buy them in anticipation of this moment. I also have multiple copies of The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Wishbone never covered, obvious reasons. My God. Just something I love. I love that saga, the books and the films. And so, yes, I did read the books. I am that person. I just have a need to own all of the editions of them for some reason. And Three Musketeers, again, is the last one. I have 2 copies of it. Maybe 3. If you count the Great Illustrated Classics, I have 3. Yeah. Which I don't have at my house.
Is there a Barnes & Noble, like those nice hardcovers?
There isn't. I do have a nice hardcover of it, but it's not a Barnes & Noble $20 edition. But if they ever do come out with one.
Yours.
Oh, it's mine.
Yeah.
It's so mine. $20 well spent. I love that story. I'm going to tell you a story why I love that story. I loved it when I was a little kid. Okay, so don't get me wrong. Prototype superhero swords and it's just the best. It's like
it's great.
Classic action adventure romance in the true sense of the word romance.
Oh yeah.
Okay, it has it all. Okay. But I love it because years later I found out, which I think you know this, I'm not really sure, that my mom's side of the family are descended from, my family descended from a long line of very, very wealthy, important, influential French family. Okay, oldest street in Paris is named after my family, which incidentally Nicholas Flamel's house is on of now Harry Potter fame, but Alchemy fame originally. All such things, but my great 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 such and such. Was the constable of France, you know, kind of a big job, no big deal. And when Cardinal Richelieu, real person, was trying to start his absolute monarchy, my great-great-great-great so-and-such was one of the people that stood up to him and was beheaded by him, which is just, I mean, very sad for my family, of course, at the time, you know, I'm sure. But to me, that's just very cool to have some kind of almost personal connection to the story in an action-adventure romance that is now, like, that's part of my family's legacy, which is just really, it's yeah, just really it's awesome. Cool to me. And I love the story before that, so now I just love it even more. But all of that. And then I'm going to top it off with this episode for two reasons. Possibly my favorite episode of the show, the Jekyll and Hyde episode.
Ooh, good choice.
Yeah, right? Okay, one, I love that story. Was first introduced to it. I actually knew the story before Wishbone. I don't know how, but I did. It was not the musical. I know why. The Pagemaster. Macaulay Culkin and... Shoot, Doc Brown. What's his name? Help me out. You. Doc Brown. You're pausing. You... You know we're tired when you can't think of it. No, Lloyd.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd?
Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, why didn't you say so?
Yeah, Doc Brown, you knew what I was talking about.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Oh,
right, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Christopher Lloyd, Macaulay Culkin, the Pagemaster. The first, if I'm not going into the story. If you haven't seen it, watch the first half of it. The second half is crap, but the first half is awesome. They face off against Mr. Hyde in Horror's story. It's awesome. That's why I knew it. Anyway, point of the story is that in the reality of Wishbone's world, not the story version, Dr. Jekyll is there's a pizza parlor that opens, and Wanda, the neighbor, who's amazing, loves plants, was one of my dad's favorite characters. She's super funny. She's got a friend who's like, oh no, where is he? He should be here. And he's an Elvis impersonator, and he's up on the stage.
Yes!
And it's super funny. You know what I'm talking about. But the pizza in that episode looked amazing. And the point of the episode that I'm trying to make, the pizza in that episode looked amazing and still like registers in my mind today. Is like, if you were to like, what's your favorite scene in television or film involving pizza? I'm going to talk about that, and I'm also going to talk about the intro. I'm going to talk about the opening scene to Ninja Turtles 2, Secrets of the Ooze, when all of New York is eating pizza, because it was really, really good-looking pizza. And when I had real New York pizza, I was disappointed it was not like that.
You bite your tongue, sir.
I did. It hurt.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry. Didn't mean to bring up bad memories.
I was talking a lot. Your turn.
I really love the... I do love the Jekyll and Hyde episode. That's a great episode.
I know. That's what I was telling you.
That was my introduction to that story. And most of these are my introduction to these stories. Rip Van Winkle was one.
Oh, I forgot about that story. Yeah. I was thinking about it earlier. I'm not a huge fan of the actual, like,
okay.
Washington Irving's, like, if you read Rip Van Winkle.
Which I have. I enjoy it, too. I enjoy it.
I like Washington Irving's style. I like Sleepy Hollow more. Okay. And even The Devil and Tom Walker, I like more.
Ooh, that's him, too?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot.
Whipping out the Washington Irving.
Yeah, I read that a long time ago, but I forgot that was him.
Whipping out the Washington Irving. But I loved Wishbone's rendition of Rip Van Winkle. It's a great story.
Yep.
And he's got a long beard, and he's awesome. He looks great. He's so cute with
funny.
The little dog, and it's funny. Oh, sorry. Continue.
Speaking of long beards, another great episode, The Impossible Dream.
The Don Quixote one. Yes,
yes.
My first introduction to that story.
Mine too.
Yeah.
A book
I've never read.
Me neither.
Read the graphic novel adaptation.
Which looks
highly
really
recommended.
Good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very close. I read the first chapter of Don Quixote to see how much it matched up, and it did very much.
Great.
It was great. But Cervantes. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great story, and I'm glad that I know it. From that, I really do need to read the book.
Yeah.
However, it is, that's...
Whipping out the literature knowledge.
Yeah, man.
The first novel ever written from Spain.
That is right.
He fights windmills. It's great.
Because he can.
To dream the impossible dream. Oh, the impossible.
I'm Sancho, yes, I... And Wishbone was Sancho.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was not Don Quixote in that one. Yeah.
A Tale of Two Cities.
my first introduction to that story.
Same.
Spectacular. But then leveling off into A Simple Wish when there was A Tale of Two Cities, the musical, which had the they had the best song ever at the end. It is a far better thing that I do now. Still rings in my head. Oh, you've never, have you?
No.
Oh, we'll YouTube it afterwards. It's a far, far better thing that I do now. It's great. It's awesome. Should be. Tale of Two Cities was a whole musical. Did not do well, unfortunately. My theory is because that song was not in it. Anyway, continue.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's a sad story you just told.
It's a sad story like Wishbone's Ivanhoe.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, they did do Pride and Prejudice. You're right. Yeah, yeah, he played Mr. Darcy.
Actually, I was going to say Prince and the Pauper.
Mark Twain. Good story.
That one, I only saw on VHS years later.
I did see that when it aired. I do remember it. I think I'm a fan of the Mickey Mouse version more.
Okay.
I think I liked that one more than the Wishbone one.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I think the last one I'll mention is The Red Badge of Courage.
Yeah.
Which I am like ashamed to even... I'm actually ashamed to admit
You've never read The Red Badge of Courage.
Worse. I tried twice and couldn't keep going.
You know, I'm not going to shame you for that because you tried, and I'm always going to give you credit. Now, Frank, as long as you try,
yeah,
that's much better than not trying at all.
Oh.
These are the after-school specials you learn through Wishbone.
I'm learning lessons right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. A-minus for trying, you know. Okay. I'll give you credit for trying. If you go... Oh, I don't like classics. I'm never going to read that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not me.
No. I'll definitely always give you credit for trying.
Yeah, I tried a couple of times. It's just, I just had genuine difficulty
with
it. I had genuine difficulty with it, staying interested with
it. Sorry, I was just quoting Scott Pilgrim. I know.
I just had a hard time working my way all the way through it and kind of getting to the part that I really recognized.
Yeah.
And I am ashamed by that, and I do plan to rectify that. But I'm really, really, while I have not read the book and I'm ashamed by that, I do find that story really inspiring. I there's something very Americana about it that I really, really, really enjoy.
Well, it's about the Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I am familiar with the story, even on a high, high level. Because of this show.
No, I agree. You can win trivia nights through Wishbone.
That's exactly. And I feel like, as we're sort of wrapping up here, I feel like if nothing else, this show was really great for, for educating us and making us a little bit more cultured, maybe.
Yep.
And instilling an interest in our generation that, we would want to go out and read. At the end of every episode, I think it was at the end of every episode, there was like Wishbone said something to the audience like, go out to your local library and read more. Like they made a point of saying that. And it, the whole, that's, that was the entire point of the show. Entire point of the show was, here's a little taste of these great stories that are out there, but there are thousands more of these stories. And we can't even get to the entirety of the stories that we are telling you. So go out there and find the book and read the real thing. And I think that's something that is kind of missing today from like PBS and kids programming in general, what little I've seen of it recently.
I would agree. Yeah.
It does seem like that's sort of missing, and it's more like, let's just dumb everything down and have it be like the Wiggles. Like, different age group, obviously, but I feel like this provides a lot more value and helps you become a better member of society. That's my rant. That's my old man rant on the soapbox.
No, that's a great old man rant. I really do appreciate you old man ranting for a second. Just a quiz to wrap up. Do you know what the very last episode of the show was? Without peeking. No looking it up.
Was it Sleepy Hollow?
No, it wasn't. That was the first episode of the new season.
Okay.
Okay, that was when they took a break and came back.
Yeah.
The Aeneid.
Really?
Yep. Virgil's Aeneid.
Virgil.
Yeah, that was the last story. Aeneas, hero of Troy. That was the very last story they did. Like, how heavy is that? Like, you could talk about doing the Odyssey or Hercules or anything like that, but you're basically, you might as well be like Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Here's Wishbone's Dante's Inferno.
Wow.
Like, how, like, that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot, which is really cool. I mean, the second season, besides Sleepy Hollow, they really tried to go in a different direction. I think they did Siddhartha at one, like, in whatever else. But they did do Juan Diego.
Yes, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, which is a very interesting choice, which, I mean, we could talk about at another time. Just remember roses. And was it roses?
It was some kind of flowers. I think it was roses.
How bad are we right now? Oh, my goodness. Some kind of flowers?
Flower?
The
point is, there were flowers at a time where we're not supposed to be flowers. Because it was...
And now he's a saint.
Snowy, yeah.
The end. The end. And so... I would close with some quote from Wishbone that...
Arf!
They know I was going to say woof. I was going to go with the woof. But I'm glad that you went with the arf.
Yeah,
that's good. Okay, so anyway, if you like us, please rate us on iTunes. 4 or 5 stars would be very much appreciated. We do like you. We hope that you like us. If you're listening to us on multiple occasions, we really much appreciate it. If this is your first time, we appreciate that too. We appreciate your face, even though we don't know what it looks like. you can laugh at my jokes. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay, Frank. All right. And so... If you'd like to send us a message anytime, you can tweet us at BeerWithGeeks, or you can email us at BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com. We will read it. If you give us permission, we might even read it on the air. No promises, but we might. And so who knows? And so there's that. Frank, any other final closing words?
I think you covered it, my friend.
I covered it. I'll cover you. Yeah. What am I singing?
Christopher Lloyd?
You gotta pay the
rent.
There you go. Rent. Anyway, cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.